You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. My man Jay Moore, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Had to go ahead and break out the real winter coat.
Yeah. It's time.
You know, the winter coat you bought in summer, some of you have been waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get that joint off a layaway. You finally put on that pelly that you've been waiting to put on.
You want to be in a music video now, don't you? You need a slow shot, a pan shot or something.
No. I just need to, luckily I had it on deck ready to go.
I got you.
You know.
Stay ready. You ain't got to get ready.
Exactly.
My man Longevity, how are you, sir?
Doing all right. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
Doing good, man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Nice hat.
Thanks. It's backwards.
Yeah, it's different.
Yep.
Probably going to go to Terry now.
Okay.
My man DJ J-Dib. What's happening, man?
Salutations.
Ain't good your way?
Man, not too good. Better than bad.
How the weather treating you?
Well, probably about the same way it's treating everybody sitting at this table and in this room.
People like wet weather, colder weather different.
Well, it's officially fall.
Yeah.
Making that crossover into the November month where turkeys and dressing and booty noodles make it to people's table.
Leftover conversations pop up.
Yeah. You look like somebody that consumes booty noodles.
Nah.
Noodles of the booty.
Yeah. Got some cousins that eat them openly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm
not in the closet with their booty.
No, they in the street with theirs.
Okay.
With high sauce. I'm cool though. That's not good. There's nothing good about that.
All right.
I don't even know what a booty noodle is.
You don't need to know.
K-wise. What's another
name? You're going somewhere else.
Yeah, he's definitely going somewhere else.
But no.
No, that's what they are.
Yeah.
K-wise.
What?
That's what they're called. K-wise. Or chitterlings.
Oh, you talking about like intestines?
Yeah.
They're not called intestines.
The lining inside of your body.
Stop, man.
Where the...
That's not what it's called, bro.
The booty
dish. It's definitely intestines.
It's all chitterlings.
Yeah, and then you fry them.
Have you had fried
chitterlings? They don't chitterlings? Fry them.
You've had fried chitterlings? You can fry them if you want.
Yeah, fry anything off a pig if you really want to get down.
You can milk anything with a nipple.
Hey, there you go.
All right, man, let's jump into... this first topic here, let's talk about good old streaming services like Spotify.
Again?
Man, Spotify out here making adjustments. So Billboard reports that the giant Swedish streaming service is restructuring its royalty system and that it will demonetize tracks that had previously received 0.5% of Spotify's royalty pool. Spotify will frame this as a way to combat fraud and to limit payments to ambient noise generators. But it could also have a tremendous effect on the service's role with the independent music world. So they basically already don't give you anything and they just about to cut into that mug again.
Mm. Two of the three things are actually reasonable, I think.
Yeah, when I hear that ambient noise situation.
Ambient noise.
You got to stop that.
And yeah, the idea of fraud, detecting fraud.
Yeah, so the three, one, a minimum playtime length for non-music noise tracks. Mm-hmm. So like there's a band that came out in 2014 that released an album called Sleep or something.
Mm-hmm.
And track one was called Z. Track two is called ZZ. Track three is called ZZZ. And there's just empty noise.
Oh.
And they had so they were collecting money and their marketing was like, hey, go stream our album when you're sleeping. So they're cutting out back on that. So even though I don't even really necessarily even agree with that, I can at least understand it, I guess. The other one was penalizing distributors and labels that fraudulently, pretty much anybody that is engaging in practices to boost numbers when they shouldn't be boosted.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Those two ideas I can get along board with. But the third one is an absolute, it's kind of a slap in the face.
What's the third one?
So the third one is, like you said, there's a new threshold so that if a song does not get a certain percentage, you don't get any of the money that it generates it from.
0.5.
0.5.
A certain percentage.
No, 0.5.
Okay. 0.5.
0.5%. Yep. So the threshold, according to MBW, will demonetize any track that had previously received 0.5% of Spotify's royalty pool. So essentially, if you have a catalog of 400 songs, and let's say 300 of those songs don't generate 0.5% or whatever that is, then that money will go to a big pool that will then get automatically flushed into major artists. So it's
cold game right there. That's a cold game.
Yeah.
Robbing the poor.
Not good.
People that are creatives that have to upload something through Spotify, if you have your own streaming service, and that's one of the ones that, or your own, I misspoke. You know what I mean?
Distribution company.
Thank you. You have one of those, you go through these streaming services. As creators, we see what the payout is, how it's already chopped down 8 million times. So when I read this, I just was like, is this we really going to do this? To your point, I understand about, you know, cracking down on the troll albums and, you know,
the fraudulent stuff.
Yeah, I can dig that, right?
I can at least get along. So I can get on. Yeah,
I can get on board with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But come on, man, you're already not giving out.
So I think the way that they're trying to frame this is that this is a good way for them to help the quote unquote real artists.
Oh,
the artists that are realistically musicians and realistically making money in the industry. Because they're going to take all those fractions, it's like Office Space, right? So they're taking the fractions of the pennies and all that stuff, and they're just putting it in this big pot, which it already goes into anyways, and they're just giving more of that to the bigger artists.
So when the subroutine compounds the interest, right, it uses all these extra decimal places that just get rounded off. So we simplified the whole thing, and we round them all down and just drop the remainder into an account that we open.
So you're stealing.
This is already a thing that happens in general.
Right.
Like, for example, if super music nerd, but if you're a musician and you're not signed up for Sound Exchange, you probably should be. Because even though you may collect money through your distribution company, if there's another way that royalties get collected through Sound Exchange. And if you're not signed up, everything that gets collected through that pot gets put in a pot and gets thrown to the biggest artists.
Yeah, like somebody's getting paid off of you.
Take that money.
He's literally shown me this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is a real thing. So Spotify is just, they're doing more of the same, but the fact that they're cutting creatives and out on something that this is just not a good thing, man.
Because if you're going to cut down on the fraud and think people you shouldn't be paying at all for no real reason,
right,
then that should be what, more money for you to make sure you're paying all the actual artists. But instead
you would think that would be,
you're just right.
Maybe that makes too much sense.
You know, I don't know. Is this a thing where they're like, okay, we're gonna shake some of these suckers out the game?
I think it's a mixture.
stop clogging up our service with
this mediocrity.
With this music nobody's ever gonna listen to, and all these
servers or something.
Yeah, exactly. We're tired of paying because, you know, Spotify as a company doesn't make any money.
This was well thought out though. You know, they've been working on this.
Here's the crazy thing. The way that they're setting it up, that, you know, this big pot of money, that's how it works now. Mm-hmm. People don't even know that. Like, that's how it works now. And then it's just kind of distributed in different ways. But, like, the fact that they're cutting lower people out, I think that, so it's not like this type of idea isn't done in general.
Right.
Because think about, like, YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't monetize on YouTube until we had 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours.
Right.
So there's a minimum threshold. Once you reach that, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with Spotify, you know, and these other potential, platforms doing this as well, is that it's like they're taking something away that was already given to you. It's like they're going in reverse.
I think they're trying to appease the bigger artists as well.
Well, it's trying to keep the labels.
Yeah, try to keep them using their platform.
Yeah, the label. It's all about the labels. Yeah. It's all about the major artist label system, and they want more money. So it's like, even though you have all these independent artists that are like, hey, you need to pay more, they're like, all right, cool, we'll fix the system.
Mm-hmm.
But they're fixing it for the people that, like Jay said, that are literally in bed with, like, the label system and the streaming distribution companies are like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're besties. So.
And they have to be in order for it to, you know.
Yeah. So this is one of those conversations, you know, when we were talking, remember when we were talking about Black Star and,
Luminary. Yeah.
And they tried the Luminary thing, and we were just like, well, no, like, you know, you tried it. Sure, I can respect you for trying it because you're trying to battle back against something, but at the same time, like, you have to have a reasonable way for people to get your music, and it's, you know, I commend them for that, but at the same time, it's like, I'm very curious as if this is going, I don't know what the alternatives really are.
That's a good question. That's a good comment.
To Spotify?
I don't know either.
Because you got, well, I mean, in general, streaming companies do this in general.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the alternative is something like Bandcamp, which just got bought out by a major corporation.
Yeah, so it's probably about to change.
Yeah. And Bandcamp is I've always, we've always championed Bandcamp as creatives because of the quote unquote direct to consumer, but everything still is going to get chopped down. So who knows with the new purchase? I don't know who the company was, but
it's looking pretty bad, man.
Oh man, don't tell me that.
It's looking
don't
pretty bad. So I
like Bandcamp, man.
Yeah, man. I champion YouTube.
Yeah.
And I champion because at least there you can be direct to your people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, like, as a musician, like today, like if you really want to succeed as a musician, cannot depend on streamers like the streaming platforms. You can't. Like, you have to be your own type of content person, which means you should probably have your own YouTube and you should probably create your own content with whatever you're doing. And then just YouTube, supplement everything else with your music. Like, yeah, I put out music. Yes, it's on these platforms, but that should never be your number one. It shouldn't be. But anyways, I'm done preaching. So bad.
No, that's game, though. That's game.
No, I mean, and the thing is, if you as someone who maybe if you care about artistry, look into another platform.
Yeah.
I don't use Spotify specifically because I think it's the worst of the streamers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most popular.
I don't even understand how the user interface isn't that great to me.
No, that's no commercial, but that's why I use Tidal.
Mm.
I think Tidal's user interface is just better.
I just YouTube everything, so.
The artists are just not making any money off. Like, it's just crazy because I can't say they're not making anything because, you know what, when I look at, like, the subscription number, like, for a particular artist, there are the guys at the top and who have followings and who actually were getting it before when you actually had to sell records.
Yep.
You know, someone like a Johnny Gill, you can look at his numbers and you're like, wow, he's really streaming a lot for particular songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these songs are on playlists and this, that, the third. But, you know, there's some guy that just came out. And I was like, I mean, I understand this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
But you're not getting anything out of this.
You know, one thing that I would be okay with is if they did this maybe like moving forward and everybody that has music already on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like a hard pause. Like, okay, cool. You already have your music on there. You're still under whatever. But anything that new comes to hit Spotify in 2024 off, you have to meet these thresholds. I would almost be okay with that.
That would be too much like the right thing to do.
Yeah. Way too much like the right thing.
Yeah.
But I would be okay to an extent with that because, you know, you're not ostracizing. I want my 2.5 cents from that song that I don't listen to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I made it.
My.
Get out of here. It's kind of like a monopoly. Get your show money, guys.
It is
like a monopoly because they can sell do some exactly merch. What they want to do. And all people have to do is just grin and bear it and be like, all right, I guess that's what it is right now.
Yeah.
Well, Lone spoke to it when he talked about alternative content and other options. I think that falls in line with the merch, the streaming, the docuseries, the mini doc, the this, the that, whatever the shorts are, all that type of stuff.
You got to do more than just
diversify your funds.
There it is.
I said it
Shout
like,
out to Wu-Tang.
I said it like a year or two ago, even, you know, you have to be a content creator along the side of a musician, you know, you don't have to do a ton, but you should have a YouTube presence.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody listening that is a musician, you should have a YouTube presence to some degree.
Yeah, that's why the content creators are making a lot more than the actual rappers and artists and
facts,
singers and songwriters.
And all the payment stuff is right up front. It's transparent. You know what you're going to make. The dashboard works. You can see the very next day how much you made the day before and estimate it, you know. So,
and say what you want about, like Terry said, the content creators. You can say what you want about the content creators or people that just do this and this and become popular. But if they are consistent and they have a consistent regimen and schedule, they are eating.
Kai Cent is streaming 24/7 right now from prison.
Is he in prison?
He's in prison. I'm sure it's a mock Kai prison. Sinet? Yeah.
Really?
He's
For the riot stuff?
No, he's just literally streaming, locked up in prison. And people are coming on the show, visiting him. So Drewski's been on there. Krishan Rock's been on there.
Wait, is he there in, like, willingly?
Yes.
Okay, y'all lost me on this.
I have no idea what this is.
Kai Cent.
He's like a Twitch streamer. He blew up like 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, like, overnight almost. Okay. Like, just took off.
Say the jail part again.
He's live streaming from jail for 24/7 essentially for a week. 7 days straight.
Hey, man. Get that money.
Yeah, so he's in an actual jail. I'm pretty sure the prisoners in there aren't actual prisoners. It's probably everybody's probably actors or whatnot, but it's a for real jail.
Hmm. Okay.
And he's streaming from this jail every day for 7 days, 24/7. So you can go on his Twitch right now.
Right.
And it's a jail stream.
Gotcha.
What? And people are visiting him, becoming inmates in jail. For this whole week.
Now, granted,
we're living in the last days. I'm sorry, man.
What in the AI are y'all talking about?
With all this being said, now he is intentionally.
Yes, he's doing it on purpose.
He is a content creator. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. But to what Terry's saying, like, there are also other people out there that are literally artists that have kind of, they still make music, but they maybe talk about music. So DJ Payne is one. Mm-hmm. Or there's another producer, Curtis King. He's a content creator. He makes music as well. You know, there are a handful of people that really have jumped pretty deep. Cookin' Soul is a great example because he makes his own music and he's got a great YouTube channel.
Yeah, he does.
And a lot of remixes and he mm-hmm. drops stuff constantly, you know, and he's built a big fan base. I'm sure he's eating pretty nice off YouTube money.
Dude from a Detroit rapper dude that streams playing video games now. He don't even rap no more.
Oh,
Danny Brown.
Yeah.
No, not Danny not Brown.
Danny
Brown.
No, Danny Brown's on a podcast.
T Grizzly. Yeah, he's on GTA servers. Yeah, what are they doing? Man.
Yeah, role playing.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't need to rap no more.
Yep.
That's crazy. Lil Yachty said this: the streamers and the content creators is blowing the artists away in bread. He said it.
Got to diversify, like somebody said recently.
Yeah,
got to diversify, but you have to. If you're an artist, don't depend. I think the play on this is capitalism is bad, and Spotify's bad, and
Best Buy is getting rid of all physical media.
The end of an era.
So if you're an artist, yes, be mad, but at the same time, be smart about it.
Figure out something else.
What they say: pay attention to the trends.
Come on, man.
You said the game long. Shout out to you for the game, because you always drop it. It's up to the people to pick it up.
These are always just nerdy conversations. This is like the one part where I pay a lot of attention to, just because I have to. But
I mean, but you actually do this though.
Yeah, for sure.
So you know, it's coming from a legit space.
Indeed.
Use that Google now if you think I'm playing. All right,
getting closer to that plaque.
Close. Hey,
it's getting real close.
Tell you what,
where we gonna put that?
It's gonna be right here next to my head. YouTube plaque, right here.
We're gonna
here.
Do a plaque tour.
Yeah, it's gonna have to go on tour.
We taking it to one after work. We take that Tuesday. We take it to the places we don't even go.
We're gonna have to see what is the ticket on multiple plaques.
Yeah. That's funny.
You know, they probably give you one, and they be like, "Well, if it's multiple people on the show, then we have to charge you."
So bringing down the band's getting closer.
Yeah.
New Old Heads actually made more strides in the last month than Bring Down the Band did.
Appreciate y'all for that.
We're actually over, I think, 7,300 subscribers on YouTube now.
Oh, wow.
That's dope.
Which is significant. So we're only 92,000 away from a New Old Heads plaque.
Yeah.
Well, if we get two plaques up here, it's going to get ugly.
Plaque game going to be high.
High.
I'm sorry. I'm going around every place in Indianapolis with the
I'm
plaque.
I'm going to get a chain. But y'all ain't got one of these. Oh, yeah, you out here. Yeah, you got a little podcast.
Yeah,
so I call people. You got a little podcast.
y'all at the kitchen table. Okay, yeah. I feel you. I feel you. Yeah, we got one of these.
To come through with this plaque. Yeah. Let y'all really know what's good. Yeah, man.
You want to touch the plaque, don't you?
Yeah, you want to hear. We got some Polaroids.
You want to feel.
You can
greatness.
Take a picture with the plaque.
Might let you hold it. Nah.
Pull up. Take a picture.
Yeah. You could tell. You might be able to tell people it's yours.
Glass. We gonna put it in a glass casket and just bolted up there right behind Long.
Man.
All right, man. Let's pivot. Let's talk about the OG Nikki D. He had some comments about Ice Spice, man. I just given Ice Spice the flowers for shouting out the writers and saying that, you know, everything was cool with their criticism because they're actual writers. And then after that, man, everything just went to hell, it seems. Did you guys see her? I saw it.
You know,
everybody synced it.
I just checking. I ain't know.
Talking about Betty Boop.
There it is. Thank you, Long.
Did you see the caption that Hip Hop DX put?
No, I did not.
It was like powerful performance. I was like,
really?
Okay.
Yo, Nikki D I forgot. If I'm not mistaken, she was the first signee.
First female rapper on Def Jam.
Yeah.
First single called Letting Off Steam.
There it is. OG status. So here's her comment on Instagram. She says, "Oh, come the F on. You mean to tell me this is true talent? The female genre of hip hop today is the prostitution era. Fight me with two glove emojis." Notice only two times the crowd reacts during the familiar munch line and when she turns around to show her ass.
Shaking that ass.
Thank you. She's one of the top female rappers out at the moment. Where's her show production rehearsal? And for God's sake, please stop singing over those studio vocals. It's not a live show at this point. Can someone have Ice Spice's manager get at me? This girl got 5 minutes left and y'all gonna blow it.
Yeah, it's kind of rough coming from Nicki D.
So here's my question.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong, but...
I don't care who came from.
Here's my thing, though.
She's right.
I want to go to...
But...
The prostitution era comment.
That's absolutely fact.
That's where I want to go. Let's talk about that, because to me, that's the line. The line is the prostitution era.
We already know that.
But what I'm saying is Nicki D coming out calling it the prostitution era. Bro, that's bold.
No, it's not, because everybody is saying that.
Who's called it the prostitution era?
I mean,
well, everybody's not, you don't count.
Everybody's literally said that, in maybe not using the same word prostitution.
But that's what I'm saying.
I took stripper fight rap from when Jay. Look, Jermaine,
that's why this hit different to me.
Called this,
it hits the exact same.
Ago.
You think so?
Yes,
it does,
bro. Prostitution era,
yeah,
bruh.
Yeah.
You're not bad, that sound?
No, it sounds the exact same as it's been sounding.
I don't understand.
They're
selling sex for money.
What else is prostitution?
Why does that stand out so much to you?
Prostitution just sound...
And that's coming from a woman, so
it
you
is.
Know, don't say...
I respect it.
You know.
It's her opinion, but
man,
dang, dog, the prostitution era...
Man, it's the yes. same
Selling sex
thing,
for money.
Man.
That's
what
it
is.
What is that?
All right.
That's what it is.
It's the same thing.
It hit different to me, in my opinion. It hit different to me. But go ahead, I don't want to... Y'all jump in.
I mean, they're getting paid... For doing these acts, right?
Slang prostitution.
$40 on the table.
What album
is that? Prostitution.
Sorry?
Slang prostitution. Who had a song called?
That sounds like Wu-Tang. I don't know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Terry.
Too late.
No, see, I was right.
But no, that's it. That's all I got to say about that.
Jay Moore, what's up, man?
Look, man, I'm going to tell you right now.
Tell me right now.
This is social engineering. Let me cook here, y'all, because we got to get into it.
Cook.
Think about in the last 10 years when we always talk about the top rappers. Mm-hmm. You know, they always... Now, me, because I listen, and all of us here at this table, we listen to a lot of hip-hop. But, you know, the people who aren't as learned or aren't so deep into the culture they bring up, you know, their Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas is Drake, Cole, and Kendrick.
Yeah.
Okay? And Drake, you know, a kid from Canada, a Jewish kid from Canada, singing about his feelings. Okay.
Foreigner.
Yeah,
a dirty foreigner.
Dang.
All right.
Y'all gonna be in trouble one of these days.
It's just a matter of time, Terry.
It's just a matter of time.
They're going to sweep through and pull up.
Then, okay, we got Kendrick, kid from the West Coast, has Midwest roots, talks about, you know, the ills of gang violence. Kid doesn't even drink or do drugs in this. Talks about marriage and therapy.
True.
Okay, and then you got J. Cole, a biracial kid from North Carolina, you know, who is a college graduate, who has talked about a various amount of things. These, whatever you want to say, these are the guys who have sold the most records in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so I really think the people at some, you know, like I said, I believe in the conspiracy of social engineering. And I think a lot of people said, we failed in trying to infiltrate and
with hip hop,
infiltrating. And how is it these guys, we put all this dope and all these guns in the game. And these are the three artists they gravitated to.
They rose to the top.
So they said, you know what, how you can really infiltrate the culture specifically of Black America is if you go through the women. OK. And so all of a sudden,
civil rights movement.
Now, all of the women. You can't get a deal if you don't have plastic surgery, a BBL, if you're not talking about your actual, you not just using men as a resource or something to fear, but you have to talk about your contempt specifically for Black men and that they aren't anything. And that if they're not buying you nothing, they are trash and you should get what you can get from them. And you know what? Let's celebrate having as many kids as possible. It ain't got to be no marriages. It doesn't have to be with a man that you care about. You can have kids and not have any man in the house. And we're going to celebrate that. And so
it sounds like civil rights.
He ain't lying.
And so here it is. Now you got it to the point where they're making it seem like Sexy Red is black, young black women is America's hero. Here it is out here. She pregnant, twerking with no shoes on.
Stanking.
At
talking about how it stank.
At every, you know, literally talking about having unprotected sex with drug dealers as something to celebrate. Because, you know, those are the dudes who got Hellcats and SRTs. And then, you know, even women who, like Cardi B, got married, then had kids, did it in what some people consider to be the traditional right order. And she's out here still selling a certain level of, you know, Meg's hot girl summer. Meg is, you know, and these women want to be in love, but you know what? They don't sell that. They sell shaking ass. They sell
shaking that ass.
Alcoholism and drug use. They sell casual lesbianism. I know I'm getting probably.
But what is it from though?
I think it's the social engineering.
So I'm going to add. I'm going to add to that because you are correct. Social engineering, but in the same token, people love it.
But
and people have always loved.
People love McDonald's and crack, Terry.
Exactly, and they're very rich, and it sells every single day. So, with this music and all this such,
none of that is good for you.
None of it's good for you, but people love it. I mean, why do you think there's so much? When we're talking about junk food and obesity and all that stuff, is because everything is readily available to you. You can go buy it right now. So people are really into this junk food music. And it's in their face. I mean, we have shows called The Real Housewives of such and such, and none of them are married.
Right.
True.
Or you have the hip-hop show from this region, and none of these people are in the hip-hop game. They're just in that region.
There's no hip-hop. There's no hip-hop.
You know what I'm saying? So,
and they call the show Love and Hip-Hop.
But you have people that are feeding and buying into these this culture, so to speak, that we don't necessarily agree with.
Well, you know what? Because nobody wants to say, you know, because whenever there are people who are taking, oh, no, they just have. Once again, I talked about this before, to where it's specifically for women.
I know what
you're
going
to
say.
They'd be like, oh, they just having fun.
They just having fun.
Sexy Red and Lotto and all them, they just having fun talking about like I said, once again, we got to keep it PG.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so but you know what? They never tell when men are doing things that are doing, because trust me, I know people are going to be like, why are you so hard on the women? Listen to the other 360 something odd episodes. We hard on the men too.
Yeah, but you got to be hard on the people that are influenced by this and who love it and push it to the forefront of the culture too.
Yeah. You know what? Yes, we do got to. But like when I see 8-year-old girls twerking on the internet,
that's at the house.
But bro,
but you got to understand, like, because there was this clip where a school teacher of all people, somebody who should know better, was like, if you something and you want to see what's up, and all these little kids go, that was how she got their attention. Yeah. I was like, the reason we should be concerned about something like that is not because that's great, the teacher could get the girls' attention, the kids' attention, but the fact that kids who are under the age of, well, you should be listening to Sexy Red, they know the source material. Yeah. That's the problem.
I hear what Terry's coming from, because the social engineering concept, even if it's happening right in front of our face, you know, then you talk about the conspiracy theory, cool, because we're seeing the results of what you're talking about. But I like how he says that's at the house, because this is still being received well and consumed.
Listen,
no matter what the engineering is, people are flocking to this. Listen, maybe that's another level of the conversation.
The difference between now and back when we were kids is that a lot of our parents were actually still parenting us. You know what I'm saying? So we may have been sneaking to listen to this music. You know what I'm saying? We knew we weren't supposed to, but some about it spoke to us. But we also knew how to move in a certain way to where this is not us.
Well, also,
you know what I'm saying? It's not becoming of us. Hold on.
Oh, go.
But now you have parents that want to be so cool with their kids. They're listening to the same thing that their kids are listening to because they want to be relatable to them.
Preacher.
So they're literally painting a picture and trying to raise them while raising themselves, so to speak, because they want to be so cool with their kids that anything goes. That's why whenever you hear something, oh, they're just having fun, they're doing this, they're doing that, you can't be mad at them. Like the little boy that's rapping, have y'all heard the little boy?
Yeah. I put it in
that's
Discord.
That's crazy.
I put it in Discord.
That's crazy that's acceptable. When the dude that hopped on the song with him was like, oh, that's how the little dudes come up where we at anyway, and he's doing something positive. He's not doing anything positive. People need to stop relating or relying on this bag of money to be the positivity in your life, because it actually leads to everything negative.
Capitalism.
The guy, you know, the guy, what I'm saying? The guy that was on, to your point, the guy that was on the feature justified everything by, well, he getting a bag. We're gonna get a bag that's, for him. He's gonna get a bag. I'm like, that. My son was made a very good point. He was like, that's the only thing that you got from having this little 6 or 7 year old boy rapping and talking about what he's talking about is that he's gonna get a bag. That's the only thing you got out of that.
That's it.
Our Charleston White comments when we had commented about what was it hit.
Same
thing. People were in the comment section saying the same thing. Like, well, he's helping him.
Yeah.
That's not helping.
Yeah.
It's not helping, man.
Like, where's Lil Mouse right now? Man, remember that?
Ain't no he grown telling. Now. So ain't wherever no he grown now. But Lone, do you have anything to add? Because I know we've been going back and forth. But go ahead. I want to make sure you get yours.
No, I mean let's see who's let's put up a poll. Who guess what I'm going to say here? All right. So I think
we could flash the poll.
Nate actually mentioned it. Jay mentioned it. You know, the social engineering aspect of everything too. I mean, it comes back to, you know, I think it's multiple things.
Okay.
But it also goes back to the profit motive, right? This sells.
Yeah, everything is about the bag.
It sells. The powers that be, and shouldn't have to explain who the powers that be are.
You don't
care about one thing, and that is money. And they are going to pay attention to what makes money. And so, to Jay Moore's point, social engineered specifically in that way to be detriment to the black family and the black people in general, or if it's just about making money in general. I don't know, but I definitely know that it's definitely chasing the money.
Absolutely.
So it, to me, it's definitely a capitalism issue, but there it is. But everything is. So,
and so is a social engineering experience for everybody? Because hip hop is the number one consumed music form today. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, we are using black faces for this music and this particular style of What does she call it? Prostitution era.
Prostitution
era. Or whatnot. Or even beyond that, the drill music or whatnot.
Right.
But it's the main source or the main consumed music, right? Music form right now.
So it's driving.
So is it targeted to everybody or only the black kids and individuals, the ones being influenced by it?
Well, look, when I look at these, you know, because you see these people performing at like the Rolling Louds and whatnot, mm-hmm. like that's mostly white people down there.
Yeah.
You know, and but the thing is, they consume it, digest it, and they go home. And
there
unfortunately, like I said, when I see how black culture, and I have a front row seat to this, you know, how they start living, it influences what we drink, it influences what we wear,
it influences
what we drive.
Yep.
You know, and unfortunately, how we act and our attitudes towards each other. So that's the part that's most concerning to me, because we're letting these clowns, and I'm going to stop pulling punches on this because people are quote unquote having fun. This is clownish.
Yep.
You know, and some of y'all are just so happy to be at the circus that you'll see Sexy Red out there twerking, pregnant with no shoes on, and just clap like you just saw the most incredible, like you just saw Michael Jackson do the moonwalk. Mm-hmm. It's got to stop somewhere, because now these companies see that, they'd be like, ooh, let's see what else we can do.
Yes. Right.
Because like I said, with the Cardi and Meg song that came out and was dead on arrival, it was because like, why are we going to listen to this when we got 5 Sexy Red songs that are way more trifling?
Yeah. I want to address this comment right here.
Go ahead, bro.
It says, I don't think, let me see.
I got you.
I don't think it's because parents want to be cool. I think it's because the parents grew up listening to hip hop and still do, whereas our parents grew up listening to different music.
Yeah, that can be
slice.
That appreciate the comment, first
yes,
of all.
Yes.
But that can be true and untrue at the same time, because I mean, I knew parents that were into hip hop coming up, but weren't into only like certain songs that told a story and kind of warned you or something. So like I remember my friend's mom listening to Tupac All Eyes on Me.
Mm.
And the song that she liked on that album was Wonder Why They Call You.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And she explained why she liked that song.
Mm-hmm.
It was the stories, what he was talking about in the whole situation. So yeah, they were listening to it or some of them weren't, but there was still a safety net, so to speak, when it came to what they allowed their kids to be exposed to. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can listen to certain stuff, but all this extra stuff, nah, we ain't doing that. Or if you're listening to it, you're not listening to it in my house or on the loudspeakers. You can go listen to it on your headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of this stuff that's out now, if somebody really gravitated towards hip hop and understands the culture, you kind of shun away from some of it too. So I'm not about to be riding around listening to Sexy Red with my daughter or any other like vulgar crazy stuff with my sons based off of me growing up hip hop, because that doesn't represent me. And you still have to, at some point in time, have some kind of growth and development that's keeping you from putting that in your child's ears while they're with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because they're going to do it regardless, but you have to police the situation as a parent.
Right. I think I agree with that. I would also say, though, that the one difference that we're seeing with the generation that is raising kids now, the younger generation at least, mm-hmm. Even though our generation is having kids later than right. the previous generations, and you know,
if they get to have kids at all,
for sure. Yeah. But like, our parents generally didn't grow up listening to hip hop, though. Mm-hmm. The generation that is younger now, their parents did. Mm. So I think there is something there. It like the connection between those two things. It's different. I think, you know, it's like my parents grew up listening to rock music and called to school when the bus driver was playing Crisscross mm-hmm. and saying, I don't want to, you know, it's just what it was. But back then it was like hip hop wasn't as thriving as it was in the '80s. And the message was generally positive in the '80s, I would say.
Positive or just fun.
Yeah. You know, yeah. like it, yeah, you know, but not like what it is now, you know, like it's a step
like
away.
It back then because it was black. Essentially,
that's part of it.
Yeah, but I guess to the point though, like if
but it wasn't their music, that's part of it. It yeah. wasn't their music.
Yeah, I think there is something to that though. I think maybe it's, I don't know how big it is.
I have friends that are our age that have preteens or about to be teenagers, and they try their best to have a filter system. You can, like Terry said, you're not gonna catch everything. Now it's. Goes back to the engineering. You can find it on TikTok, Instagram. It's a dance to it. All that goes into what we're talking about. But my homie that has his daughter is about to be 13. He's like, man, I try my best to make sure that she understands the difference between this and that because of the music that, to Lone's point, I did. He grew up on hip hop. He listened to rap. So he tries to make sure that his daughters can understand the difference in the types of music. That's something that he makes a conscious effort to do. Now, how it's going to land, we don't know. As they get older, we'll see.
I mean, it's a teachable moment.
But it's a teachable moment. Like I've seen him go out of his way to make sure that they understand Drake or J. Cole or Kendrick versus whomever you want to select.
But if you grew up with Two Live Crew and that was your favorite group.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, he did know. Grow up with Two Live Crew.
As his favorite group?
Well, I mean, they listen to him.
And only that?
Not only that. I ain't going to lie to
you. What he loves, you know?
But this is a lot of
times. I ain't going to say only that.
With the nuance we miss. Because, you know, I saw, you know, shout to Nuri Muhammad. And he had this whole thing about how in the 90s it was so positive. And we had this, that, and the third. And
it wasn't all positive.
Exactly. Because I commented on the post. I was like,
mainstream was more positive.
Luke and X-Clan and A Tribe Called Quest and NWA were all out at the same time.
Same exact time.
But I would say the mainstream was more positive.
I think the mainstream was more positive.
Well, mainstream was different then. Mainstream wasn't hip-hop.
Exactly. Hip-hop wasn't
That's
mainstream,
fair.
But if we were That's hip-hop, fair. What we considered to be mainstream, there was balance.
Agreed.
If you watch an episode of UMTV, right? Okay, you're going to see Naughty by
Nature.
You're
going to get some of everything.
And then you're going to see, you know,
E-40
Nice and
Click,
Smooth.
Nice and Smooth.
And then you're going to see Snoop Dogg.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you know, and then you might see Salt and Pepper. But yep. then, you know, you might see with problems. You know, so it now all we get, if we were to juxtapose the eras, all we get through the A is BWP. Sorry, yeah. We're going to have to blank that out, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, now, you know, it's like when you go to the club, you hear BWP for 3.5 hours.
Yeah. True. There was a balance in the force.
You know, it's like you can almost say, hey, BWP and HWA just came along too early.
Come on, man. They
but at the same time, when we had those groups, we had.
Homeowners Association, what? Hey.
But at the same time, when we had those groups, you had Nikki D putting out Daddy's Little Girl and Hold On Kid. You had Nature.
Where's she from?
She's from New York.
New York.
New York.
There's always been an alternative.
We've had Queen Latifah putting out Nature of a Sister and Black Rain.
Y'all remember when Heather B came out? That was an alternative to
her Nonchalant.
Nonchalant.
Yeah. They came out before Foxy and Kim.
Yeah.
You know, Lady of Rage was out before them.
Facts.
Yes. But what happened when Foxy and Kim came out? It was provocative.
And then all of a sudden, that's all anybody signed for the next 30 years.
That's because that's what was making the money. Hell, Rhapsody just put out a new single like yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Snippet was fire from what I heard.
Hit-Boy,
fire. Guarantee you don't do anything like these numbers.
It's not going to even be close.
I bet it'll probably do better than City Girl numbers.
Eh. I hope so.
We'll see.
Nice.
I hope so.
6,000 to 8,000? I bet.
Yeah, because that's a whole nother conversation that in the road that we could go down. But I'm like, why with Rhapsody, even if you... You know, if you're not a fan of Rhapsody or, you know, whatever.
The song was good. I'm not a huge fan of Rhapsody, but the song was good.
Thank you. I mean, you can be honest, so I get you. But what I'm saying is where the disconnect is, why can't we just push? Why don't you want to get behind her and just push her?
Because it's not fun.
There we go.
It's a learning situation. It's almost like, so you have to go to school to learn, right? And they don't like it because you're actually listening and learning something. You're seeing a different angle. It's not fast food. It's not, I can, you know what I'm saying, understand this song. And by the time it's over, I understand it. Yeah. They're going to play it again and again and again and again and again. You know what I'm saying? Right. Repetition is going to beat you to death, essentially.
And in our country, we don't care about the educational system.
Not at all.
And we don't put any money in the educational system. We don't pay teachers enough. We don't pay educators enough. We don't incentivize people to want to educate.
Preach.
And if we don't do that, then we are socially engineering our children to like the lowest common denominator.
There you go. The low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit.
With worms and stuff coming out of it.
All of it. I got fruit in the front yard.
All the fruit they're getting is...
It's rotten.
Spoiled and rotten at this point.
You know, all I'm saying is, like, we need to be aware, you know, and be very conscious. And I know that's a lot to ask of people. We need to bring back balance. That's fine. Okay. If we're gonna have the City Girls, if we're gonna have Sexy Red, if we're gonna have Lotto and all these other people who talk about who their whole stage is shaking ass. All right, then let's make sure we put some energy into Rhapsody. And then we bring her up all the time because that's the one that we know, you know, probably better than anybody. But I know there are other women out
there. There's some more dope artists out there.
But you know what? We don't put a spotlight on them. So
do a better job.
Go ahead. And look, and this is just my little political soapbox, and I'm going to get off it because, like I said, I probably already said too much. Black women, be very aware of how your ethnic image, Black American women specifically, how your ethnic image is being disseminated throughout the entire world right now, because they are pushing this internationally. And you're going to look up and be like, why are we seeing this way? Why? Because this is what
Sukiyana was over in England talking about. She's trying to get her coochie scratched.
Yeah. Man. So and this is what they're like I said, there's some man in an office, you know, who said, hey, who else can we give 50 pieces of silver to go out and do this exact same thing? Because it seems to be working. We're just going to keep putting money into it, just like I keep putting money into Microsoft.
It's my argument I told you about the demo phase. Let's just go scour YouTube, find some demos with 1 million views. Boom, 50 pieces of silver. There'll be a star.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's all that. Like, look, when you watch the music videos, like, remember how there was just such an uproar over anything that had to do with BET Uncut? Mm-hmm. Now women are just they're making BET Uncut videos about themselves and for each other and
for free.
Yeah, and it putting them on YouTube, and it is something that somebody needs to say something about. We're just a little small platform, and don't nobody care what I got to say. But here I am saying it.
But that's good. I mean, I think part of the responsibility is on the people like us to continually to talk about this stuff and to highlight the good outside of the negative as much as possible.
Yes.
And because we understand that even though we won't do as much numbers,
right,
in general, we need to, you know, it's on us as well.
Yeah.
It is. I don't mean just like us. I just mean people that have this type of viewpoint.
It's about being mindful, but unfortunately, the masses have spoken, essentially. This is just where we're at. I mean, even as a country, when it comes down to politics, when you see who they pick as the politician they want to lead, mm-hmm. it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. They literally don't pick the best people.
That's the problem.
The good people don't even run.
No, or they run and everybody's like, they can't do that. Let's go this way.
And let's just also bring it back to this. Start booing these women. I'm sorry.
Start booing all these
Start booing Ice Spice when she can't, when she only knows every 10th word of her song. Start booing Glorilla. Start booing these women, fellas, ladies, everybody. Let's get together and start booing these women into doing better.
Bring Apollo back, shame campaign, all of that.
Yeah, let's do it.
But this is, again, I hate to harp on it, but I really don't. This is why capitalism is so bad, because you can't get out of it. It is literally a vicious cycle that is always looking for the lowest common denominator. They're just looking.
It's a hamster
does
wheel.
Not care about the good in
That's
anything.
It right
it's just about money.
It's hamster wheel.
It
That's
doesn't
it
matter.
Right
we can
there.
Preach till we blew in the face, and people I'm are saying. Still going to pick the exact same stuff.
Yes.
Let's great conversation, gentlemen. Let's shout out the partners.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Appreciate y'all all in here on a Halloween evening.
Yes, we appreciate y'all.
You guys.
Y'all go trick or treating?
Yeah, I did.
You take your kids trick or treating?
Yeah. I went as a podcaster.
Did you?
Were you out podding in them streets?
Yeah, I was out there saying, hey, capitalism, capitalism.
Look, I had.
He went as Bernie Sanders.
I had a kid. I think, can't remember, it was last year, you know, because it fell on a night when I was.
You had a kid.
Home. No, I had a kid come by the house.
I had a kid on. Yeah.
And
it scared me, Jay.
This was one of the few nights where I was actually at home. And I don't know. Once again, I don't know what's these kids these days. There's plenty of people trick or treat. And I was like, oh, okay. What are you? You know, you could tell little Bumblebee or Elsa from Frozen. Is that a name?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I don't have these. I don't kids. I don't know these movies. I just kind of got to figure it out.
Yeah. Did you give him a beer?
No, I ain't not getting none of my beer. That's what kills me is people are like, hey, watch out for people giving.
Did you give them edibles?
Edibles. I was like, nobody want to give your goofy ass kids no edibles. Hell no.
People are delusional.
Yo.
By giving them kids.
Please don't be that
edibles.
Person, man. Don't be that person.
But I had a young man come by, you know, I was a little late to open the door, you know, and he's about to walk away. He didn't come back and say trick or treat. He's like, hey, y'all still got some candy?
Y'all know what I want.
I was like, y'all still got some candy.
I was like, yeah, little homie, we got some candy.
Yeah, remember back in the day, they'd be like, check your candy for like a razor blade.
Yeah, that's a real
like
thing,
that.
Though.
Yeah, I mean, because that's easy. Just
no, it isn't. That's the thing. It really what?
It's a lot easier than me going to buy some edibles or some fentanyl and giving it to your kids.
Dang.
I mean, you giving them a Snicker bar, you could have just put a razor blade in there.
Who is That's putting different. Razor blades in
there? Evidently, they were doing it back in
it's
the
a real
day.
Thing. That was,
that
a, real
was
thing.
A real thing.
I know.
It's just kind of like when.
I lived in Waukegan when that happened.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
Remember, they was stealing kids and everything. Remember, every time you bought some milk, another new kid was on the side of it?
They don't even put kids on the side of that milk box.
Two kids bit a razor blade on accident, and it's a pandemic.
He's right. Just like I mean, just that, like it was. Some, you know, remember, wait, remember wait, when they said somebody?
Do you know how that comes off? It's almost like Lone is like he should have ate around the razor blade.
That's what I would have done.
What are you teaching your kids? Don't eat the razor blade. Man. Don't chew it.
Yo,
teach them to keep
around
it in their
razor
mouth.
Blade. Now,
look, man. Good. I remember there was back in the day. Yeah. Like I said, I realize I'm older than everybody at the table. But when like they said somebody died because they took some Tylenol, and that's when they started putting.
Did you
like,
have 18 of them? I mean,
child safety
because they said somebody tampered and poisoned the Tylenol, and that was a big story.
That was a real thing.
And then it was like, oh, that's when they started putting all the tamper-proof stuff on the bottle, and because it used to be you just bought a bottle of Tylenol, it wasn't no
just
foil
took the
or
cotton
no
cotton. Out and
so
that was on there. It just wasn't the push down. All you had to do is just unscrew.
Maybe they should put like razor blade safe candy bar wrappers.
Oh my God, man. What's
put
wrong
it
with
on
you,
the companies to do better, not the people.
You should be able to look at a wrapper and tell if a razor blade.
Did you ever go to a house that had like real, like they gave out that whack candy with the black
I never
and
even trick or treated.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
You're talking about the black wrapper.
It was like supposed to be like some peanut
black
butter
and orange.
Trash.
The black and oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know what candy
you're
talking about, though.
That was always
that's the little
wax.
That's,
it was in the little wax
that's
paper.
That's the candy that Mike gets from his dates in their purse.
little whack ass nougat.
It's not even good. The good
nougat. It wasn't even good nougat.
We had a dude in our neighborhood that used to give out nickels.
It'd be your own people, man. It'd be your own people.
Stop eating that whack nougat, man.
It'd be your own people. So,
trying to accuse white people eating bowls of nougat, and here come you on, are.
It'd be your own people, man. Sorry, though.
No, but like, oh, sorry, we had a dude. Right. We had a dude in our neighborhood that he thought it would be fly to give us like nickels.
Hey, listen, I'm about to be.
You had to go to that dude's house 5 times to play a game of Pac-Man.
That's crazy. Whack. That's wild.
And then
I'm about to be handing out vapes to y'all kids.
Y'all like
I'm
this?
I'm feeling real generous.
Y'all like this watermelon mint joint come right on, here? Man. We go.
I seen the guy says you got 3 for $30. I'm about to go buy like a whole bunch of vapes and hand them out to y'all cheering.
Let me see you hit that thing, young fella.
There you go.
Because that's how it sounds when people be like, somebody's giving your kids edibles and fentanyl.
Be like, hey, little man, you want a cigarette?
Yeah, let me see. Yeah.
Y'all know cigarettes?
I got need no candy.
Yeah. Hey, take one of these edibles.
He's like, hey, man, I got
it. Call me in the morning.
Yeah.
I got a piece of pizza if you want it.
Yeah. Bad out here, man. Just be careful with your churn, man.
You should be more worried about the old man offering to get kids popsicles and inviting them down to the basement.
You want a popsicle?
I tell you
what. I want a popsicle.
I tell you what we did do.
Hey, you stupid.
When my.
Hey, Chris.
That voice, though.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Put your fat ass.
When my dad, he was working for Eminem Mars, we gave out like king size candies.
So y'all was balling.
And y'all was balling in every aspect of life, bro.
Yeah, we was. We was balling.
Yeah.
And so kids would come back like.
No, I mean all of them.
More than once. But they'd be like, all right.
I would too.
They would take off the mask and be like, hey, trick or treat. I was like, dog, you've already been here.
Yeah.
He's trying to get these king size.
They had one of them big old TVs. In they room.
Box TVs.
Yeah, they had the big one, the one with wheels on it. Didn't
you gotta
they?
Bring you gotta
yeah,
bring
oh some. Yeah, we had that with the wood panel on it.
Yeah,
we had a 52-inch magnifier.
Say, I need a photo album from like 87, bro. I need you to bring a photo album in so we can see.
Out here looking like Kevin McAllister.
Yeah, I need to see what was going on, man. About 85, 86 with
Pops.
I mean,
87 we was doing good, but I tell you what, like 90.
Is that the era?
90 to 95, boy, we was, you know.
Eating good.
They had 2 box TVs.
They was at Perkins.
Now, I tell you what.
They was at Olive Garden when
Perkins,
it first opened.
Perkins got heat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perkins got heat.
There's an Olive Garden when it first opened.
Is Perkins even a thing anymore?
Yeah, it's another some one places. On the north side.
Okay.
So, I got an array of things left, I believe. I wanted to play a game, but nobody liked that one. The reason I suggested this one, somebody shared it with me. It's a make a group.
I'm not choosing any of the people that's on the 9, though.
I mean, we can extend it, but one of our longtime followers, homie Jesse, sent me this, so shout out to him. So it says, make a rap group, and it says using 3 rappers. I already have mine picked, but it has Dre, Nas, Eminem, Prodigy, Biggie, Big L, Big Pun, Tupac, and Ice Cube.
So Dr. I got Dre the picture is just a Discord, producer, really, though.
And that's exactly why I'm picking him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking Tupac, and I'm picking Nas, because Dre is going to produce... Great production for those two gentlemen. Great songwriting.
You said Tupac and Nas?
I'm taking Tupac, Nas, and Dre.
You damn near have to take Dre for every one of these picks.
You don't have to.
Kinda.
I'm taking Dre, Nas. I'm comfortable with Dre, Nas, or Pac. Now, the music is going to be a little heavier, but the quality is going to be through the roof because of Dre's production, and I'd like to see the direction that those two artists would go into over Dre's production. I'm going with that. Do y'all want to extend the chart?
I would do Dilla and Andre 3000 and Fonte.
Oh, we being unfair now.
Now, granted.
Not really, because those are our favorites, but you got to think
about
it.
But at the same time, certain
how would they sound cohesively?
I think they'd sound good.
I think it'd work great.
I think it'd sound good cohesively. I don't think everybody would like it, though.
Mm.
But I would.
I'd love that.
I would. Mm. Because Dilla could rap, too, and he could bring the swag.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Long.
Fonte can sing and do both. Andre can sing and do both. Andre can also help with production. And Fonte can as well, actually.
Well, you know what? We can take it off the chart, then, if that's the case. We want to open it up, because I love that one.
If we going off the chart, then I got to...
Now I got to think about one off the chart.
You got to almost have to choose like a producer rapper.
You have to.
That's what I think. I agree. So if you wanted to say, the people that have to be in there is like a Pete Rock, Kanye West. You got to have them in, like, they cover both. Pharrell covers it.
Crit
would cover it, right?
J. Cole.
Even J. Cole, absolutely.
Even if you want to go back, Pimp C would cover it.
Because listen, I wouldn't mind a J. Cole, Kendrick, Tupac group.
J. Cole, Kendrick, Tupac. Indeed.
Okay. Okay.
It's okay. J. Cole's production isn't as strong as I would want it to be.
Not as strong.
But it would still be decent.
just being biased because I love those artists. Lone Yours is, it's gonna be hard to beat that.
Man, you put Andre 3000 with anybody.
Fonte with anybody. You put Dilla with anybody. You know,
I'm down there riding out.
Man, it make the, see this chart. Dre is the only one that's the unicorn. The yeah, so we can, I guess we can toss that out. I like that, Lone. I like that, man.
I would say Andre 3000, Common, Killer Mike.
Oh, can, yeah, okay,
that'd be an interesting one.
If I wanted to, I'd take the handicap. Can I do just the producer and then just two artists?
Yeah, because I didn't use any producers.
I think that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'll take Just Blaze on production. I'll take Jay with him. I'm going to throw a curveball in there. I want
Memphis Bleek.
Stop.
Hey, how is Jay-Z not on that list?
Good point. I'm taking Jay, Just Blaze, and I'm going to just do something random and take a curveball.
Scarface.
I'm going to go Q-Tip.
What about?
I put Q-Tip is my producer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the reason I say Q-Tip is because I think his pen with Jay and Q-Tip's mind as a producer as well with Just Blaze, Jay's pen, songwriting and structure.
Yeah,
I think that would be a very, very good matchup. I think that would work. I like that one. Just as a tip as a cue ball, curveball, because he can do both.
Yeah.
What you got, Jay? Give me something.
No, I would put Q-Tip in as producer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear Q-Tip, Killer Mike, and Scarface.
Oh,
that'd be interesting.
I didn't see that coming. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Beat wise, it would be different. I think Scarface and Killer Mike kind of match up.
I think they match up well, actually.
Yeah.
But
with that Q-Tip production, that's really different.
Q-Tip's kind of hit and miss on production for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say probably a better producer for them two would be Just Blaze.
Killer Mike and Scarface?
Just Blaze, Killer Mike, and Scarface.
Mm.
Probably be solid.
I haven't heard a combination yet with Pharrell, because Pharrell has a long history of making consistently hot hit records, but he also can get, Pharrell got B-sides too. Mm-hmm. Pharrell's one of those ones where you can put a lot of people with him because he's such a great producer, makes dope records. You know what I'm saying? So do Cube and Pharrell work?
No. Mm-hmm.
Not at all. You give it a shot, can you?
Cube and Killer Mike might work.
That definitely works. Yeah, that definitely works.
Hold on, there was a Weeby Clubbing remix. Was that Pharrell that did that?
I think Pharrell is dope.
I'll sleep on that one.
No, I don't think so. I have to look that up. Yeah. But I think Pharrell is dope enough of a producer.
That might have been a Neptunes thing. I don't know.
I got enough faith in him as a producer to say, yo, he could get with Cube, and they would turn out something that would be fire. I got that much confidence in Pharrell as a producer.
Yo, Scarface and Pac put together a solid track.
Mm-hmm.
With Smile.
Timeless. That's a dope record to this day.
Very dope record. So what if you had Tupac, Scarface,
like,
and Killer Mike?
Or what about those two guys in like DJ Quick?
Oh. Now we talking.
You know what I mean?
Now we talking.
I'm thinking about something else. Reboot Club and Remix was the one that had DMX on it. Yeah. No, that wasn't Pharrell.
Now we talking, Lone. I didn't even think about Quick.
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking about producer pairs. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I think Pharrell mixture with Kendrick with a mixture of somebody.
Because we've already seen Kendrick and Pharrell
with All Right.
They knocked it out the park.
Yeah.
So whoever the third MC would be, obviously that's the wild card. But
I mean,
I just got a lot of
Kendrick, Jid, and Crit.
Mm.
That would be a nice little combination. I think honestly. Pharrell, J. Cole, and Kendrick would probably be really good.
I'm not even paying attention to the chat. I don't even know if they're throwing any suggestions.
Overwhelming Slice says add Big L to Mobb Deep.
Ooh, with Havoc on the production?
Mm.
That's tough.
That would be nice.
Good call.
Yeah.
I like that one because I keep forgetting Havoc make beats.
Who's the hardest rapper? Like, just hard.
Hardest MC?
Yeah.
MC Ren.
MC Ren? Who else? Give me some more.
MC Ren doesn't have one song. You'd be like, hey, that's for the ladies.
Willie D.
Willie D.
Willie D.
Okay.
All the time too. I know that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like
DMX.
Honestly, man, we being honest,
ain't nobody hoarder than DMC.
I like how you said hoard. Honestly, Cube be serious a lot.
Really, Cube.
Cube
first four album. Cube.
You rarely see him deviate off his content with Cube. When he pops out, Cube is 95%. It's gonna be about something. Even
Sean
now.
P.
Sean P was my number one. So I was going to go, I was pairing Alchemist Sean Price with somebody else is who I was trying to figure out. And I was like, Alchemist Sean Price and like,
there's a good one.
Conway.
There's a good one. Styles P.
Styles P would
Styles
be.
Styles P is a good
Styles
one.
Styles P. Yeah, yeah. Styles P, Sean Price, and Alchemist.
I got it, Long. I got it. Alchemist, Sean Price, and Beans.
Old Beans.
Old Beans. I'll take Old Beans with that.
I like that, yeah. Like
Sean
that.
Price and Old Beans over Alchemist Beats? Yeah. I'll take that.
Sean Price is like one of my favorite rappers ever, so.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Sean Carter is nice, but Sean Price is the best.
What about Freddie Gibbs?
Oh, Freddie Gibbs.
I keep forgetting about Gibbs.
Benny the Butcher, because they actually sound really, they beef, but they sound really good together.
We've
and
seen
Sean
it work.
Sean Price.
That'd be wild.
Who's the producer? If we're going to do producers, though, who do you put with them?
You know what?
I'm trying to think of somebody else to add to
You know what, though? I would actually, now that you say Freddie Gibbs, I would actually put Gibbs and Sean Price with Alchemist. That's who I would put with them.
Gibbs and
I
Sean think, Price.
Now, that would be an interesting
because
mix.
We already know Freddie and Alchemist already sound great together.
Yeah, yeah.
Undeniable.
Madlib.
I keep forgetting about Madlib.
Madlib can go so many different ways too. Cause he can, you know, he's got the heavy stuff, but he also has like straight
smooth
head
stuff.
Boom bap.
I don't think Freddie Gibbs gets enough credit for destroying in a positive way. Obviously full
he
album.
He gets plenty of credit from the people that know. Like, what are we saying?
Yeah, he gets his credit.
Yeah, for people that like Sexy Red, of course not. But
I ain't talking about them.
Exactly. That's my point.
He is Grammy nominated now. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, people
those
are
projects
attention.
Are dope, top to bottom, both of them.
At DMX to Onyx.
I wish Freddie Gibbs.
DMX to Onyx, wow.
On paper, Freddie Gibbs and Jeezy should have made sense, but it didn't.
Back then, yeah.
Yes, I agree. He said at DMX to the
That's what
the
overwhelming slice said, yeah.
Well, you got to be in a certain mood to listen to that. Shoot, I remember that first Onyx. Yeah. I bought the tape.
With the Shut Him Down.
Yeah.
Wasn't 50 Cent somewhere on that?
Hey, don't get me lying, man. I have to go back and look at the credits. When they call back.
I'm curious of the different people's combinations on this. So
yeah, I
want to
see combinations. Yeah, y'all put some combinations in there because this could go multiple ways if you want to do
two non Wu-Tang rappers that you would pair with the RZA, Prime RZA.
Oh, I like that. Now, that's a good one, Jay. That's a good one.
Mobb Deep and the RZA.
I would actually Lupe Fiasco.
I don't see that.
Over RZA?
I don't know if I really see it either, to be honest.
Love Lupe. Mm. He's one of the GOATs, but I don't see that one.
But you could do Prime.
I think it would work.
Prime and add Lupe. Royce and Lupe with Primo.
With Primo.
Maybe.
That's better than RZA. That is a good one, Jay, because RZA's sound is so unique. It's got to fit. It's got to make
sense.
But
not early. Early RZA was just hard.
Yeah, I'm talking about that RZA that was able to give that heat to Notorious B.I.G. twice.
They did.
Would you put Killer Mike over that classic? Can you imagine Killer Mike rhyming over Long Kiss or a Long Kiss type beat?
No.
I don't know.
Maybe the what?
I don't know if I can see it, but I know he'll body both. I just don't know how if I can.
You can't make
can
it make
hear,
sense.
Make it make sense. Right. I know he will body both of those beats though. He's
I
that.
Think Lupe
he's good enough
get
of
busy
an MC.
On those two beats.
He's a good enough of an MC.
Lupe get busy on anything. I think.
Yeah. Albums that, from a production standpoint, albums that changed. I'm talking about changed hip hop or were impactful. Based off the solely off the production for those albums, to me, the Blueprint is one of those. I'm a Blueprint baby. When you look at the style of the production, the soul beats and all that, album blew me away. Kanye, Just Blaze, Bink.
The whole release behind Blueprint is nostalgic for the simple fact that it came out on 9/11, along with Fabulous's first album, solo album,
which
came out.
I don't even remember. Oh, I remember. I ain't gonna cap.
Because the Blueprint eclipsed everything that came out.
But I think those beats,
that style,
birthed a whole generation after the Blueprint came out.
Yeah, because
I think that's
got
one
a
of those.
Bunch of Kanye West and Just Blaze,
and it got people back into sampling. Yeah.
I think that's one of those. To 30, me, that's the album that 30, sticks out.
Yeah, 36 Chambers is one as well. I think
I like that. Yeah,
you know, Reza's style on that.
I think that's a good one.
Was definitely different for any kind of
the Chronic.
We would be babies from that album as well.
For sure.
Now that I think about it,
the Chronic, yeah, definitely.
Chronic.
Chronic's up there. Okay. Chronic. Are there any obvious albums?
Illmatic.
What about Cubes?
Illmatic is literally the first album to use multiple producers
in that way.
Yeah.
I was going to say Cube and the Bomb Squad, but I think they had already established that with Public Enemy.
Yeah.
So I'm not, I don't think I'm going to use that one. Any Tribe projects?
It was different though.
A little different?
To me, it was different.
If there was anything that influenced and really brought jazz to the forefront of hip hop, it would be Low End Theory.
Low End Theory is one of those. You think that would count as one of those?
Yeah.
I think 808s.
Yeah.
I think
that was definitely a shift.
808s is a shift. That one really shifted music. 808s.
Yeah. So
no matter what people say, I feel like AT Aliens.
I would give it Southern Playlistic because
you think Southern Playlistic over AT Aliens?
That is the album that shifted the perception,
the eyes of Southern rap.
No, it did. It was Southern rap was Booty Shake,
right?
And just like, hey, we here to party and chance. And Southern Playlistic said, no, it really was the South has something to say.
Yeah,
and you had to have the production to have something to say. I really think it's
ATLings is my favorite, but I agree with that.
I agree wholeheartedly. But there was something about the sound on ATLings that was so different at the time because it almost was the prerequisite to Pharrell. You know what I'm saying? Some of the stuff and tones and beats and stuff they used on there kind of opened up a lane for like people to be more receptive of like a Pharrell or a Timbaland.
Pharrell speaks highly of Low End Theory. You ever seen him in an interview?
Oh, yeah.
He always references that album. What were you going to say, Long? I think you were going to say something.
I don't know what the album would be, but certainly there was some album that has spawned this No Drums era. And I don't know what that would be, if that would be a Griselda album or if that would be an Alchemist album or it would be a Rock Marciano album. But that's kind of been away for a minute. And I don't know what album really kind of spawned that.
You know what? You named all the correct culprits.
Yeah.
But I don't know, to your point, I don't know if I can pin it down.
I don't think I can.
Because it may precede Griselda. I just don't know
what... Well, it does. It was Rock Marciano.
Rock Marciano.
But Alchemist's been on it, though. And Alchemist. Right. Alchemist and Rock, but Rock was really doing it. So, you know, Rock just wasn't... I mean, he's underground, too, but Alchemist had more of a name in hip-hop than Rock did. I don't know. That's not even necessarily true. But
that wave is still... strong
for sure
now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll probably say to Triple Six Mafia when the smoke clears.
Mm. Oh.
No, I can see that.
Yeah.
Because it brought that Memphis sound to America.
You know what?
It really did.
Straight up.
I think that Lil Jon Snap era.
Yeah. That's
a big one also. They, you know, when it was them and the D4L and that little pocket
there.
And then he transferred it to Usher with and all that.
Yeah.
That changed. They changed. Lil Jon changed a lot of stuff with them two octave notes.
Mm.
And then I remember having conversations with people back in the day like, oh, man, it's just this octave and then it goes up one. I said, bruh.
It works.
It is working.
Man, that shit
Usher got records off that
was hitting.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about hit slap.
Yeah, Lil Jon is gonna be have records played at the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
true.
Because they're not gonna get away without if they don't play. Yeah, there's a problem.
True.
The Trinity, Detroit Daily, I'm a Deadly Poet. What about some Slum Village?
What if I told you?
What if I said Donuts?
Donuts. Yes, that's what I was about to say. What about Donuts?
I don't think Donuts did. I think Donuts is definitely, you know, people.
Head of his time type.
No, people just really praise Donuts, but I don't, Donuts, look, the Dilla style that people are using isn't Donuts. Donuts was kind of experimental. The style of Dilla that people are trying to like emulate is like his.
Climax.
It's his Slum Village stuff. It's his.
I would even say, you know, Tribe, Busta Rhymes.
Late Tribe. Yeah, you know, Busta Rhymes.
Far Side, for sure.
Like I think
Dilla,
chocolate.
You know what? The album that Dilla started working with Tribe was different because you definitely knew to me, the production got better when Dilla got a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't argue that.
Yeah, that was what was Beats Rhymes Life?
I don't
know.
I think it's the one after that. No.
I want to say he was part of Beats Rhymes Life.
We got to get this right.
What's the second to last one?
I think it was Midnight Marauders. No, it wasn't.
No, he wasn't on Midnight
Marauders. I'm tripping. I flipped those, but I think you're right.
Was that the last one they put out in the 90s? What was the last one they put out in the 90s? It was like a white
Love Movement.
Love Movement.
Yeah.
Definitely the Love Movement.
Yeah, he was definitely on there.
Because he produced.
I think he might have did like one.
He did Find My Way.
Yeah, he did like.
He was stressed out too, didn't he?
I don't think so.
There's a remix.
I have the remix. Yeah, yeah. That's a.
I think that
those are. I think we covered like everything.
Did we get all of them?
Smooth Hooter says no limit or Cash Money. That's a good point.
Hey, say what you want, but he has
Manny
a
Fresh.
Point.
You know, definitely Manny Fresh and the bounce sound.
Ghetto
so.
D.
Ghetto D.
Ghetto D was hard.
I would say
so was True to the Game.
But I would say
the second one.
I would
is
say
the second one? Nah, True to the Game was the one where they had the ski mask on.
So was,
yeah, that's Swamp.
So
man,
was,
Swamp
so
on
was
it, right?
Fiend. There's one in every family.
Yep. Beats by the pound.
Yep.
But I would say
Manny Fresh.
Manny Fresh definitely is above that.
By Beats by the Pound, 400 degrees.
400 degrees is, you know, as far as like just impact. I'm don't get me wrong, and no, that's not to say anything negative towards No Limit, but like 400 degrees introduced. Even though No Limit was New Orleans, 400 degrees was like that bounce music from New Orleans.
And he was making those records with.
Yeah, he was on Beats, Rhymes, and Life. Now that I look at the album cover, I can tell. Yeah,
you know, Manny Fresh was doing those albums with no samples. He was crafting whole catalog with no samples.
That album is one of the albums that you can run from front to back.
The title track might be my favorite beat on that album. The 400 degrees beat for the actual song. That beat is crazy. Listen, shout out to Manny Fresh, man.
That's a really good album.
Is that the We Eat, Sleep, and Talk rap? What song is that? We eat, sleep, and talk, man.
Yeah, because it come on with it. It come on with that 400 degrees, and he jumped right in. Yeah, that's
it. Well, there was one
that
song.
Beat is hard.
Say I'm in a room with a... that beat was incredible.
The reason why I know this was... I mean, look, I didn't like that style of music back then, but I still like that album.
You're right.
That tells you how good that record was.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Because I knew you when that album came out.
I had my backpack on super tight, and I still bought 400 degrees.
Come on, man.
No, that's real. That's real. And Cash Money had, No Limit had multiple albums that slipped in my backpack. Ghetto D was one of them.
Sick of the Shaka.
Charge to the Game got heat. I don't care what y'all say. I'm looking in the camera. Charge to the Game got heat. Right. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you when you're right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here if I don't gotta.
Y'all my weed habit is so close.
This is my friend.
Powder.
You don't know nothing about that. No, man, that's not on there.
He was stressed. The buddy was stressed, man.
Mama always told me. I know the whole album.
Okay.
Why y'all? What?
No, it's cool. I mean,
I ain't go front on it. I ain't go front on it.
Nice place in history for you. You should enjoy that.
Yeah, I ain't go front on
let
it.
Let me hit it.
Man, this just remind me of high school dances.
Come on, man.
See, we had it too.
Dun, 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 dun,
we went to No Limit High School. We did.
Yeah.
That was it, man. That was it, man. People always talking about. I know the whole album. Yeah,
you know Beyonce was on that song?
She was, wasn't she?
Yeah. She was a No Limit soldier for a minute.
She's one of them children.
That means she had.
I was born to be a soldier. Ah!
Look, Beyonce and them was—they wound up on you know, they weren't always up here. I remember they wound up on a Ghetto Boys record.
See, they from Houston though.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Gang signs out the window.
Jay Moore, go listen to Charge to the Game.
No, it's all right. I got
get
you.
Back with your boy, man.
No, I feel you. I will take your word for it.
On that note,
let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Man. Shout out to the chat. We appreciate everyone that stuck around. Appreciate your support as always. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up. Don't forget our Patreon as well. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yep. In a minute.
Bye. Bye. Bye, 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 bye.